From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 28th. I'm Abby Larico. For immigrants in the United States looking to stay in the country legally, asylum is often their last hope, but the odds are against them.
It is clearer now than it has ever been before that the administration is doing everything it can to make asylum completely inaccessible to the majority of the world.
A story of the obstacles facing asylum seekers in a Missouri immigration court, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The death of a St. Louis man in ICE custody has sparked criticism from the president of Colombia. President Gustavo Petro is calling for a formal diplomatic protest against the United States after Brian Garcon Rayo's death by suicide in a Phelps County jail last year. In a social media post yesterday, Petro alleges Garcon Rayo was denied a chance to call his mother before taking his own life. Previous reporting by St. Louis Public Radio finds the 27-year-old struggled with multiple health issues and didn't receive a required mental health screening while in custody. The renewed attention in the case comes as members of Congress are also raising concerns about conditions inside Missouri facilities housing ICE detainees. Petro says the U.S. government should, quote, reflect on how their immigration policy is killing Americans and Latin Americans. A panel discussion in downtown St. Louis yesterday, hosted by a regional economic growth group, took aim at data center critics. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the group brushed off many concerns about data centers as made up.
Civic, business, and organized labor leaders attended and spoke on a panel about the possible benefits of data centers hosted by Greater St. Louis, Inc. Panel members touted the economic possibilities for the region through data center development while calling concerns over their energy and water use, privacy concerns, and more myths. Greater St. Louis managing partner Ron Kitchens gave opening remarks.
It gets easy to get lost in fact and fiction of water usage issues and boogeyman of electricity rates. It's easy to get lost in all the rhetoric.
The panel comes amid growing criticism and public pushback against data centers in St. Louis and nearby areas like Festus. This spring, Festus voters ousted half of their city council members over a data center project. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners has voted to approve a drone as first responder program. That means St. Louis police will soon place 6 drones at docking stations across the city. Major Joe Marisi says the drones will only fly when a call for service comes in and will not be used for surveillance or to patrol neighborhoods.
It can assess the situation on the ground prior to the officer getting there, whether there's a large crowd, whether there is a person that has been injured. We can call for an ambulance earlier than we could until the officers have gotten there.
The St. Louis Police Foundation will fund the first year of the program and spend nearly $600,000 to buy the drones and a new radar system. Mayor Kara Spencer is a member of the Board of Police Commissioners. She criticized the police department for calling a last-minute meeting to authorize the project.
This 24-hour notice, I think, is just really bad practice as far as issues of this importance are concerned.
The department also promised to draft regulations and hold community meetings before the project begins. They anticipate the first drones will begin operating in the next 3 to 4 months. The school board for the Special School District of St. Louis County has voted to freeze teacher and staff salaries. As STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, the decision comes as the district navigates major financial headwinds.
The district is facing an estimated $83 million deficit for the upcoming school year. The Missouri legislature's failure to fully fund the education formula and a property tax freeze for seniors in the county left major holes in the district's budget. Teachers and staff packed the school board meeting on Tuesday to protest the district's decision. Here's special education teacher Denise Hill.
Every day, we're asked to do more with less. We always adapt. We sacrifice time with our families. We purchase classroom supplies and treats with our own money. We support students academically, emotionally, and socially.
Teachers said they worry this will drive away qualified staff during an ongoing teacher shortage. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's state Supreme Court has ruled that it was legal for the state's governor to call a special session to draw new congressional maps. The NAACP had argued that the September special session in which lawmakers drew the new maps did not meet the extraordinary occasions threshold for Governor Mike Kehoe to call special legislative sessions. That's according to the Missouri Independent. But the court disagreed, affirming the governor's right to call lawmakers in at any time. This was the latest of several challenges to the 2025 map rejected by the courts. Now, opponents of the maps are waiting for Missouri's Secretary of State to certify signatures to put the new district divisions to a statewide vote. Missouri's abortion rights advocates have launched a campaign to defend a 2024 measure protecting the procedure. A measure known as Amendment 3 had put the right to an abortion in the state constitution. Now, another measure crafted by state Republicans and also called Amendment 3 would ban most abortions, as well as gender-affirming care for minors. Margo Riphagen-Dunn is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers Action. She says Missourians don't want to reinstitute a near-total abortion ban.
Now, those same politicians are trying to take Missouri backward by overturning the will of the voters and inserting themselves back into those personal health care decisions.
Again, to clarify, a yes on Amendment 3 in 2024 had supported abortion access, while a yes on Amendment 3 in 2026 supports restricting the procedure. Voters will decide on the proposal in November. A Democratic state legislator from St. Louis County says statewide ballot initiatives have hurt his party's chances of expanding in Missouri. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on why Representative Ian Mackey believes these ballot items give voters a disincentive to support Democrats.
In recent years, Missouri's progressive activists have gravitated to ballot items that expanded Medicaid, legalized abortion, and raised the minimum wage. But Mackey says the focus on these statewide initiatives deprives Democrats of much-needed money and organizational help. He also says it gives voters an out on holding Republicans responsible for their policy decisions.
I am so tired of all of us as voters being able to have our cake and eat it too. I am sick and tired of issues being separated from representatives in government who are sent there to represent those issues.
Missourians are slated to vote on 4 ballot measures in August and up to 5 statewide proposals in November. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Mackey made those comments on Politically Speaking. You can listen to that episode at stlpr.org. St. Charles City Council member Scott Shipman has died. The city announced his passing late last week, followed a long battle with cancer. Before taking the office in April, he served as a St. Charles County assessor for more than 20 years. County officials credit Shipman with modernizing the department, going paperless for data collection, and allowing residents to look up their property online. People who knew him personally call him a great man. The city of St. Charles will appoint an interim council member until they can hold a special election to fill Shipman's Ward 4 seat in November. Shipman is survived by his wife and 2 children and their families. 2 bills designed to curtail excessive rate hikes for home and auto insurance have passed the Illinois State House. Each bill prohibits insurers from imposing excessive or discriminatory rates as determined by the Illinois Department of Insurance. Advance notice for renewal premiums over 10% are also required. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Secretary of State Alexi Janulius had each advocated on behalf of one of the bills, that's despite industry backlash. Democratic Representative Thaddeus Jones of Calumet City called the homeowner insurance legislation a victory for ratepayers.
This is a great bill for affordability for our consumers. This is negotiated as perfectly as we could with the industry.
Republicans in both chambers largely voted against each bill, insisting the added bureaucracy jeopardizes open and competitive rates. Both bills now move to the governor's office for final approval. Popular food truck spot 9 Mile Garden is banning sports equipment. Managers of the Afton venue made that announcement on social media yesterday morning. They say people were getting injured, drinks were getting spilled, and vendor property was getting damaged. Reactions have been mixed on social media. Some applauded the change, saying parents need to better supervise their children. Others lamented losing a place where they can relax while watching their kids play. Management says they've been working to make the venue into a sustainable business by drawing people to the spot with free entertainment. They say safety issues have grown as more people visit. 9 Mile Garden will also open its new indoor venue this weekend. Millions of immigrants apply for asylum in the United States every year, which protects them from deportation. But judges in Kansas City's immigration court deny the majority of asylum claims they consider. Reporting for the Midwest Newsroom, Salisa Kalakal explains how those long odds affect one asylum-seeking family.
Ever since the Trump administration ended the humanitarian parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans last year, this mother of four living in Cass County has been stressed. The Costa Rican woman, who is a native of Nicaragua, spends most days at home because she's nervous about getting detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Aquí las leyes migratorias hoy es una cosa, mañana es otra cosa.
To be truthful, I haven't been able to sleep well.
The Midwest Newsroom is not using her name because she fears deportation. But in March, she told me through an interpreter that she faces violence back in Costa Rica. The family immigrated in 2024 after the mother testified against a family member who was selling drugs.
My plans were not to come here.
Pero sí dije.
First, they spent some time in Costa Rican witness protection, then they connected with a sponsor to get to Kansas City.
Es un país muy lejos. Este hombre no me va a buscar allá.
But I did say, well, this country is very far, and I don't think these people are gonna find me there.
Entonces yo me sentí segura venirme para acá.
So I felt myself safe coming here.
After years of trying to protect her family, she still remembers how happy she was when she got official approval to come to the U.S.
Even walking in the street, I could feel, I was laughing in the street and feeling the wind in my face and smiling. So I called my mom very happy and I told her, Mom, guess what? I already received the formal invitation to go to the U.S.
But now, without any legal protections, she's hanging her hopes on asylum. It means she must prove to a judge her family suffered persecution in Costa Rica, and they have a well-founded fear of harm if they return.
And I'm also afraid because I know that if I go back to my country, again, I'm gonna be in danger.
So far, this mom and her family have spent thousands of dollars and filled out countless applications to work and stay here legally. Eventually, their case could be heard by one of four immigration judges in Kansas City who cover both Kansas and Missouri. Their backlog included more than 50,000 cases through March, and the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse shows these judges have denied 95% of asylum cases so far in 2026.
It is clearer now than it has ever been before that the administration is doing everything it can to make asylum completely inaccessible to the majority of the world.
Immigration attorney Ginevra Alberti isn't involved in the mother of four's case, but she says asylum seekers often wait years for a decision, and the Trump administration has cracked down on who gets asylum.
It's just been kind of from all sides, they're doing everything possible to dismantle the system. And then all of a sudden, the rug is being swept out from under them.
Alberti says key decisions can sometimes come down to a judge's own discretion. It's not enough for someone to say they fear persecution back home. They also have to prove it.
You're dealing with people who are traumatized, for the most part, and who may have memory issues because of that, and you're holding them to this incredibly high standard of having perfect memory, which none of us have.
Even routine immigration meetings have become anxious for the Cass County mother. For her youngest son's recent appointment at the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services office, she asked a family friend to come with her. And while everything went according to plan that day, she can't help but think of the difference asylum would make for her family.
Sentiría paz.
I will feel peace.
Sentiría confianza, tranquilidad.
I will feel calmed.
But until she gets her day in front of a judge, she's on edge. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Salisa Kalakal in Kansas City.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.